All right, everybody, here we go again for another Tech Doctor podcast. I am Robert the Tech Doctor, and I think along with me is Allison Hartley. How you doing, Allison?
Well, the wonder-baiting brain cell I have left after a long day, and I are here and doing well.
Which of you is doing better, you or the brain cell?
Oh, I don't know. The brain cell's at about 50%.
So. Maybe it's an amoeba? It's a one cell?
Might be.
A rogue amoeba.
A rogue amoeba.
Sounds tough to me, man. All right, so we'll see how you do on one brain cell. Well, in this podcast, we just kind of want to come back after having taken a few weeks off and I guess kind of letting the dust settle a little bit over all the announcements that Apple has made this fall. They've come out with some fabulous new products. Of course, the two new iPhones, the new iPad Air 2, slight update to the Mac Mini, slight update to the iPad Mini, which now has Touch ID, and a brand new 5K display Mac. Wow, you know, just a lot of things have happened this fall, a lot of new products.
Yes, a ton.
A ton. And, Absolutely, of course, all the new software with iOS 8 and Yosemite, and you and I have both jumped on the bandwagon with all of that, I think, at this point, right?
Oh, yeah. I had been participating pretty heavily in the iOS 8 betas, and I got Yosemite on the day that it came out.
And how have your experiences been to this point, just in general, with iOS 8 being brand new and with Yosemite? How's it going for you?
Well, especially with the release of iOS 8.1, I found that some little buggies have definitely been squashed. The main one that had been plaguing me in iOS 8 was that dial tone bug where you went to push a button on the keypad and the touch tone would stick.
Yeah, that was a nasty one.
Seriously annoying. But they definitely fixed it in 8.1. And, you know, a lot of those smaller bugs, I don't know if I just don't use my phone the same way as other people, but a lot of the smaller bugs, I can't even remember them now because they're such a distant memory. But right. they didn't affect me. In terms of Yosemite, I'm absolutely loving it. It's great. I love Aero Navigation in Safari. That's my new big favorite feature. I actually haven't played with the new Spotlight a whole bunch, mainly because I use Launch Bar for a lot of my Spotlight-esque type needs.
Yeah, we both use Launch Bar, and so I guess Spotlight isn't that exciting for us. But for someone who doesn't use any kind of launch manager, they really have beefed up Spotlight a lot in Yosemite, and it might be time to take a look at it because it really might be all you need.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I definitely want to, after we move again, for the last time, hopefully, I want to sit down and really delve into Spotlight more.
Yeah, just to see what all they've done with it.
Yeah.
Well, I've had a very similar experience to yours in that iOS 8.1 has worked out really well for me. I just haven't seen a lot of bugs. I still see a little bit of hesitation in my phone sometimes. It takes a little while for a screen to come back or something like that. And so I'm hoping that some of that sluggishness will get smoothed out, but it isn't terrible. You know, it's so interesting to me, every time a new version of iOS or a new version of OS X comes out, we hear so many complaints, so many things that people find wrong, and I fully understand that we all use our devices differently, and we all have different amounts of RAM in our Macs and different ages of Macs, and certainly there are so many variables that we can't control that I'm sure people have different experiences, but it's just rare that I have the kinds of really negative experiences that I read about on these mailing lists and hear about on Twitter and so forth.
Me too. I find that generally when a new operating system comes out, I'm really able to use it without too many problems. Not to say that people who complain on mailing lists, well, let's face it, some of them are impatient.
Sure.
But maybe it just takes a certain level of patience and willingness to sort of figure out ways around little things that we just kind of have innately. I don't mean to sound conceited by saying that, but you know what I mean?
Well, I think, you know, a lot of it is honestly how easily perturbed you are by this or that difference in the system. There are a few differences in Yosemite that, you know, have been, I think, frustrating for some people. I have not experienced this lag that some people have talked about in Yosemite at all, but some people say there is a lag, and people have come up with various workarounds to try to make VoiceOver be more responsive when you press a key. But since I haven't experienced it at all, I can't really even, you know, verify that it's a real bug. So it's got to be frustrating for people who are experiencing that.
I can only imagine. I mean, I have an old Mac with newer insides. I have 16 gigs of RAM. I have the best processor you could get in 2011, which is quad core. Oh, I can't remember how many gigahertz, 2.7, I think.
And you've got an SSD also, right?
And I've got a 1 terabyte SSD, yeah. So that might have something to do with it. But, I mean, the people that have talked a lot, especially on Twitter, about these lags, I mean, it sounds like their machines are okay. They don't sound like wimpy machines,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah, they don't. And I know a friend of mine here in town has experienced the lag, and he's a real techie kind of person and, you know, really knows the Mac. And so when he says he's experiencing it and doesn't see any rhyme or reason for it, then I have to believe it's happening. But it certainly has not happened with me. One thing that I always do, and I would encourage people to do, you know, obviously backup before you upgrade from Mavericks to Yosemite. Make sure you have a working backup that you can actually boot from if you have to. You can do that by creating a backup with Super Duper or Carbon Copy Cloner, although I hear Carbon Copy Cloner in its very latest version is slightly less accessible than it used to be. Still usable, but you have to do a bit more mouse clicking with it.
It's workaroundable.
Super Duper is still the same, just fully accessible as it always has been. But I encourage people to do both a backup. And also, I don't know whether you do this or not, but I always do, and it's always served me well, is I always boot up into the recovery partition on the previous operating system, say on Mavericks, and go into Disk Utility and have Disk Utility run any repairs that are necessary on my existing hard drive before I install an operating system. And Disk Utility almost always finds something that the disk needs to be repaired. And in fact, if you haven't run it for 6 months or so, it's very likely that it'll want to do a repair on your SSD drive where your main operating system is stored. But I find that once I do that, I'm much less likely to have any problems after the upgrade has finished. So that may be a bit more geeky than a lot of people want to get into, but I find that really has been helpful for me.
I find that to be the case too. I try to remember to do that, although I think in this case I was so eager to install Yosemite I might have forgotten.
Oh, you got excited.
I did.
Yeah, well, that is cool, you know, and it's probably not really necessary. Most, probably 99% of the time, it'll work fine. But I do wonder, you know, you just have to wonder if some of these people who are experiencing some of these weird things like these lags, if they had done a really good check of their hard drive and made sure that everything was the way it needed to be, you got to wonder if maybe Yosemite would work a little better. And I don't know that, but it's a curiosity anyway.
I do wonder.
Yeah, you do wonder, but we don't have the big answer, so I guess we'll just have to wonder. I wanted to mention one other thing about Yosemite and Mail. Mail operates a little differently in Yosemite, I've found, than it did in Mavericks. And it's the Mail is laid out a little bit differently, which means it works a little differently with VoiceOver. But I've found that the way that I work really well with Mail is to leave Mail set to its default configuration, not changing it to classic Mail, but just leaving it at the default. And I find that what works really well in Yosemite, for me at least, is to use Tab and Shift Tab to switch between the mailbox and the message table or the message view. And then when you're in the message table, you can still use the Vo Command J to jump between the table where the messages are listed and the actual body of the message. I don't know how you work with mail, but I found that that works really well.
I don't really find that I need to switch mailboxes a whole lot in the Mac version of mail. I would say 90% of my mail management now on the phone.
Okay.
So maybe I just haven't played with it a whole lot.
Uh-huh.
Especially now that I have my new phone, I find that I'm doing many more tasks on the phone.
You broke up just a little bit. So you say you're doing many more of your tasks on the phone now?
Yeah.
And
because of the great battery life.
Yeah, we're going to find out why you're doing that in a minute, because I think you have some exciting news.
I do.
Yeah. But the thing is, mail does work a little differently in Yosemite, but I find it just equally as accessible as it was in Maverick. So you just have to play with it a little bit and find your way of reading it. Of course, and I guess maybe you don't have your mail set up this way, but I have all of my mailing lists that I subscribe to automatically going to their own mailbox. And that's the reason I'm...
You know, if I had any sense in my head, that's how I would have it set up, but I don't.
Well, it sounds like it works fine for you.
For now, yeah.
For now. Yeah, and I think that's part of the point, honestly, Allison, is really, you know, the whole beauty of this Apple ecosystem is there are many ways to do everything. And so each of us can pick what works for us. And that's mm-hmm. one thing I love about it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's what makes it freeing to live in this world.
Yeah, you're not tied into one way of doing things. And probably yeah. that's a blessing and a curse. It's probably perhaps the reason that, you know, some of us are having more trouble than others, at least to some extent, it has to do with our workflow and how we do things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And since we all do them a bit differently, probably some workflows are a bit more problematic with the new software than others. So
yeah.
I don't know what the answer to that is, but, you know, it certainly does suggest that it behooves us all, I think, to step back and look, okay, could I do this mail thing that I'm having trouble with, could I do it a different way? And would it work mm-hmm. better if I just adjusted the way I've been working a little bit? You know, I mean,
yeah,
that's kind of what you have to do when these upgrades come along, I think.
Well, in technology, as in life, sometimes you have to change your way of thinking a little bit.
Yeah, sometimes you do. So I really can't wait any longer to talk about it, because I'm terribly excited for you and terribly jealous at the same time, because I know that you have an almost brand new iPhone 6 Plus.
I do, and I'm terribly excited for me and terribly sad for you.
awfully nice. I ordered mine on September 29th, and it's still on back order. I still don't have it yet.
Oh, man. I ordered mine on October the 1st after vainly calling around various Apple stores in Northern California trying to find out if I could just get one. Finally, I just bit the bullet and ordered from Verizon because I'm a Verizon Edge customer, and there was a whole bunch of junk that needed to happen with that. So it was just easier to order through Verizon. So I ordered it on October 1st, and I did not expect to receive it until November 1st, but I got it on October the 24th. So I'm very happy with it. I knew that the 6 Plus was probably going to be okay for me, but then I was listening to all a bunch of other podcasters and just people that I know who got the 6 Plus who were kind of having buyer's remorse. And these were women and men, all hand sizes and things. So I was very nervous, but then I got it. And I've been using it now for over a week, and I'm really, really happy with the form factor. It is bigger. It is a large phone, and there is just no getting around that. But because it has the curved edges, and I have small hands, but because it has the curved edges, it makes it a really easy to hold. It's nicely ergonomically designed. The screen real estate for me is perfect in that it kind of hits that sweet spot between I find the iPad screens, even the mini to some extent, to be a little bit too big, but I found even the 4-inch iPhones, the 5 and the 5S, to maybe just be a little bit too small.
Mm-hmm.
So the 6 Plus is a perfect balance between that for me. and the battery, I can't even tell you how amazing that is. I mean, I can easily go 18 to 24 hours heavily using this thing with Bluetooth on, screen curtain off, whatever, and not have to really worry about charging it. It's incredible.
Well, that is nice. So you are using it in a case or not in a case?
I am not using it in a case at this point, and I realize that I am living dangerously. I had to actually reorganize my Amira bag, which is my purse of choice.
Uh-huh.
So because the little pocket that I had delegated for my old iPhone did not accommodate the 6 Plus, but I've found a new pocket for it. And actually, it's working out really nice.
Oh, good.
I don't have anything else in that pocket because I don't want anything to scratch the casing. I got a gold iPhone, so I'm very proud of it.
Oh, you got the gold.
Oh, yes. Needless to say, there are just certain neighborhoods where I don't even take it out. But
yeah. But I am really not a case person. I used a case this past year, just the Apple leather case on my 5S for the first time ever. And I don't really think I'll use a case on the 6 Plus. But my question really was, is it, because it is bigger, is it harder to grab it? You know, like if the phone rings, you need to quickly grab it or something like that. Is it, do you feel like it's going to slip out of your hand? Is it hard to grab and hold because it's bigger?
No, I find actually for me personally that because it's bigger, I can kind of grab onto it a little bit more securely.
Okay.
I felt like I almost had a less secure grip on the smaller phone.
Okay. So it's, and that's what Jim Dalrymple said as well, was that he didn't find any issue that it didn't feel slippery in his hand or didn't feel like he was going to drop it or anything like that. But I was afraid maybe it would feel that way because I take my phone in and out of my pocket dozens of times a day. You know, I'm curious to see what that's going to be like with the bigger phone.
I think you'll be fine. I mean, I've had to fish it out of my purse, you know, whilst trying to sit the dog and get the phone and, you know, hope that we were in a place where I could stop, sit the dog and get the phone.
Yeah. So, yeah.
And it's not been a problem.
So you haven't really felt like you were going to drop it?
No, never.
Good deal. Well, it's nice to hear that. And so the screen real estate you said is just about right for you, but what kind of advantage does that really offer? I mean, what do you like doing better, for example, on that bigger screen than you did on the iPhone 5S?
I think that because I have a slightly bigger iPhone, I almost see it as more of like a media device, a computer. It just feels nicer to do the gestures. Like, for example, when there's an action associated with like in mail, I feel it just feels nice to kind of swipe up to delete. And it's not even the length or width of the gestures that I'm doing have changed in any way. It just feels kind of like you have a slightly bigger canvas to paint on. I don't really know if there are any true advantages, especially to a totally blind person, in terms of screen real estate on this phone, but it just feels nicer. It feels a little bit less cramped.
You like how it feels. You like having the room, it sounds like.
Yeah.
Do you ever use it in landscape mode, you know, taking advantage?
Absolutely not.
No, you don't.
No, I have it locked in portrait. I suppose I should try it, you know, just to see how it does with the two column. But I mean, I've seen it on the iPad, so it's not like it's something I haven't seen before.
Right. I understand, although God knows I haven't tried it yet, but I understand that you can rotate it into landscape mode and it will automatically, for example, with mail, flip into the two column mode like it does, like the iPad does.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I have heard as well.
So you can read on the left column the message header information or the messages, you know, subject line, but then on the right column you have the actual text of the message. So it'd be interesting I'm looking forward to experimenting with that and seeing whether I like that or not. And it's interesting that you just haven't felt the need to try that, it sounds like.
No, because I didn't dislike the two-column view on the iPad by any means, but I didn't really find it for me to be that compelling of a feature. So I haven't really worked with it.
So, I mean, I'm getting the flavor that you really like this form factor, this hardware. You're really,
I do.
Really happy with it.
Yeah, I am. It is no heavier. I would say I was actually holding, I gave my colleague my old iPhone 4 and I compared the weight of the 6 Plus, which is significantly bigger, obviously, to the weight of the iPhone 4. And the 6 Plus is lighter, is definitely lighter than the 4.
Yeah.
And it's really, the weight is nicely distributed. You don't feel, you know, holding it up to your ear, you don't feel like you're holding something heavy. It's really nice. It's super thin. It essentially looks like a big iPod Touch third generation, I would say. It's kind of like that third or fourth. I can't remember when they started to go super thin, but it's really thicker than the current generation iPod Touch, I would say.
Yeah.
But it's not by much.
When I looked at it in the store, it did remind me quite a bit, at least just the feel of it, of the iPod Touch in a sense. The edges of it, just kind of the way it feels when you hold it. Obviously, the iPod Touch is much smaller and thinner, but just the way it feels reminded me of that. And so I get what you're saying about that.
Mm-hmm.
What about the sound quality of the speakers? How do you think it sounds?
Well, I noticed that when I would turn things up a little bit louder on my iPhone 5S, you would get distortion. Jeremy and I like to listen to a lot of stuff together, and especially like if we're in one room, he's in one room and I'm in the other, if one of us is cooking or something, we might want to turn the volume up on whatever we're listening to. I find that I can turn this iPhone up to pretty significant volume, almost, I don't know if I've maxed it out or not, honestly, and not get any distortion, whereas on the 5S I would.
One thing I've really enjoyed about the iPad Air is that it has significantly better sounding speakers than what's on the iPhone 5S, and it sounds like the 6 Plus is at least somewhat better anyway in your experience. It's certainly louder.
Yeah, I would almost put the 6 Plus on par with the iPads.
Mm-hmm.
It's really that much better.
Yeah, that's really nice for a blind person. Sighted people probably don't care all that much necessarily. Maybe they do. I don't know. I shouldn't say they don't care, but certainly we are all about what speakers in a device sounds like. And it's really good.
Oh, sure.
It's nice to get that positive report. That's another thing that makes it worth considering. Cause I don't think there's anything particularly outstanding about the sound of the iPhone 6, as far as I can tell. I think it is the 6 Plus that makes it, it sounds better than the 6.
Right. Because there's just more room for a better speaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's more places for it to resonate. So it really should sound better. And I'm glad to hear that it does. Any problems with anything you don't like or anything that you don't think works very well with the 6 Plus?
The only slight bug that I have noticed, and I don't even know if it's just me or if I am listening to something and I pause it with a 2-finger double tap. If I hit the sleep wake button, which is now on the right hand side, which I'm actually finding I really like, and I do a 2-finger double tap to begin playing the audio and I then lock the screen, the audio comes back at near full volume, but not quite sometimes all full volume. And then if a sound plays, such as a new mail notification, then the audio comes back at full volume. So I have to fiddle with the volume a little bit sometimes if I'm playing and pausing. But like I said, that's by no means a deal breaker.
Yeah, I haven't heard of that one before. That's an interesting one. So it I gather when you unpause it, then it's much louder than you were originally playing it.
Well, voiceover certainly is. Yeah.
Interesting. I don't know what's going on with that. It'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, I don't know if it's just because I don't have audio ducking turned on. I've never found audio ducking turned off, excuse me. I don't have it. I kept audio ducking on and haven't really messed with it because I found that in iOS 8, I haven't liked the audio ducking toggle as much. I don't think it works as well on iOS as it does on the Mac.
You know, just to finish up on the 6 Plus, it's a complete win-win, and you're really glad that you made that choice over the 6, because it was really kind of a hard decision to make this year.
It was, and yet because I'm a tech geek who needs the best of everything that I can get in terms of Apple products, I knew that the longer battery life and the optical image stabilization were enough to make me take the gamble with getting the 6 Plus. And I'd say I won this gamble, because I forgot to talk about the optical image stabilization, but I really feel that it does help with using apps like KNFB Reader. I also think that the larger size of the phone is helpful with the KNFB Reader, because, again, it just feels a little bit more solid when you're putting your phone in the center of that document that you're trying to scan and lifting up. I feel like you have a little bit more control, it's a little bit more stable as you're holding it to take that picture.
So you're getting good results with the 6 Plus and the KNFB software, it sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, Jeremy and I actually read our junk mail now just because we can.
That's a pretty good testimonial right there.
Yeah.
Anybody who's excited enough about how well OCR works to read junk mail, reasonably excited about it, huh?
Yeah, everybody needs to get KNFB Reader. It is the best $100 you will ever spend. I know it seems pricey, but can you really put a price on your ability to take a piece of printed material anywhere you are that is hitherto been inaccessible without, you know, the intervention of some sort of big scanner, and use it with a piece of software that loads onto a phone in your pocket? I mean, you can't put a price on that, in my opinion.
You heard it here first, folks. Allison doesn't make a strong endorsement like that unless she really means it. And sounds like you are really happy with the KNFB Reader.
I am. And quite frankly, at this time of the end of the day, if I'm going to put out the effort to make a strong endorsement for anything, you better believe I believe it.
That's right. Because it takes that whole brain cell just to get that endorsement out
that
there.
My amoeba just died, I think.
Okay. Well, we appreciate you taking one for the team here and going the extra mile to put that out there. And I don't have the KNFB Reader app. I'll get it one of these days. When
you absolutely need to. I'm going to hound you until you get it.
I'm sure you will, and I will get it, because it is worth having. I think obviously it's a lot more important to have if you're in a situation where you need to be able to read mail, i.e., you don't have a sighted person around who grabs the mail every day. Yeah. So certainly that's a big motivator for getting it. I think.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
And there may be many other reasons to do it as well. Although I must admit, I don't come across nearly as much printed material as I did 5-10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so that the world is changing a bit, but still the idea of being able to have that OCR in your pocket and have it work really well is a very exciting thing.
We went to a restaurant where the menu was not online, and I was able to just scan it. We went to lunch somewhere, and I was just able to get out my phone and be like, hey guys, look at this. And everybody was very impressed.
And you were able to scan it well enough to get some useful information off the menu. Yep.
Yeah. I mean, it was not for in that case, it wasn't perfect because it was like the real glossy, plasticky, menu material, but I was able to get the information and for it being glossy, plasticky menu material, I would say it read 80-90% perfectly.
Well, excellent.
And that was in one go, you know?
Yeah, that's a really good endorsement. And that's certainly everything that I've heard from virtually everyone has very high praises for that app. So I think we have to really, really give it the kudos it deserves.
And if anyone from KNFB Reading Technologies would like to come on the Tech Doctor podcast to talk more about KNFB Reader, get in contact with us.
Yep, get in touch with us, and we certainly can talk about it. So I think that's probably good for now on the 6 Plus. I'm so happy that you got it and happy that you are enjoying it, and I'm hoping that within the next few weeks I'm going to be doing the same. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, for your sake, I certainly hope so.
Yeah, it's so much fun to get the new hardware, and I don't know, it's almost like become a tradition or a ritual for me to do the new iPhone every year, and I've never, ever, ever had to wait this long into the month of November. It's almost more than I can bear.
But I know. Ever since Verizon had the iPhone, I would always get it on launch day, whether I would go to the store or whether I would have it delivered. I always had it on launch day.
Yeah.
This was the first year that I did not get my iPhone on launch day, and I didn't know what to do with myself.
I know. It was very sad for both of us, you know.
Yeah.
And I even went and stood in line at a store, but I wasn't able.
Me too.
Wasn't able, yep, to get one, so that's just how it worked.
Me and Gary, we were outside luckily it was a little bit sunny where we were, but still 6:30 in the morning.
I was going to say that brittle California weather out there.
Oh yeah.
Well, that's just too bad that it didn't work out. Well, I want to finish up just by giving one iOS 8.1 tip, because I know that a lot of people who listen to this podcast are users of the Audible book reading app. And unfortunately, with the new operating system, Audible has updated its app a couple times, and it's still perfectly usable, but they have really messed up the ability for voiceover users to easily delete a book once you have finished the book. But fortunately, I stumbled across a really workable workaround or a solution to this deletion problem. And I just wanted to share it with people in case, you know, people don't know about it until you hear about it on this podcast. But if you're listening to an Audible book and you're finished with it and you want to delete it, all you need to do is focus on the book title and then do a three-finger flick left, and the app will say page 2. And at that point, you can simply flick once left to the delete button with a one-finger left flick. Double tap on the delete button, and it will ask you, do you want to delete the book? And for me, at least, that works reliably every time.
Oh, that's great.
So it's a good solution for until Audible. I imagine they will ultimately do something about this problem that of deletion not working well with voiceover. But this is a way to do it that, for me, and I've tested it quite a bit, really works reliably. So maybe that'll help somebody.
Well, it's going to help me. Thank you for that.
Okay. Yeah. And it's one that somebody, I think, brought up on the ACB Radio main menu show, and then somebody posted it in a mailing list I was on. So I certainly can't take credit for discovering. I would have never probably thought to try to flick to another page and then delete, but somehow somebody figured out that really does work. So,
well, it's thank you, unknown person.
Yeah, it's obviously a focus issue with voiceover, and somehow getting it on that second page lets voiceover actually focus on the delete button and make it work. So anyway, it's a good workaround for now, and certainly should alleviate all the frustration many of us have experienced trying to delete our Audible books.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah, the other workarounds were much more cumbersome than that.
Yes.
But I think that's going to do it for this version of the Tech Doctor podcast. Any final comments or anything we've left out that if we don't say it, the world's going to go flat?
Well, the wellspring of my wit seems to have run dry this evening. So I was going to make a funny comment, and then it died in my amoebic brain as it was being formed. But if you'd like to get a hold of us, we always love to hear from our listeners. I'm sorry, Ken, I think it is, who emailed us and I haven't written back. Moving, sorry. but you can feel free to send an email to techdoctor@dr-carter.com. We'd love to hear from you. And soon I'm hoping that I'll be able to help us get some sort of a voicemail set up as well. Saying it on the podcast means I will actually get off my butt and do it. So.
Excellent, excellent. Would that be nice to do some voicemail? And
it'd be great.
We're going to not make it quite so long between episodes next time. We've just been busy and lots been going on with Apple, and we just kind of took step back a little bit. But we'll be back soon. And until we are back, you guys take care. This is Robert the Tech Doctor. I'm going to say so long for now.
And this is Allison Hartley and Snoring Gary, which I hope didn't show up on the podcast, saying bye, everyone.